Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And Kevin Troller is back with us to review a book that is not nearly as spicy as the last one. I feel like he's maybe trying to redeem himself or show that, you know, he has varied tastes in what he reads. But the book he wants to discuss is Bonhoeffer, is that how you say it?
Bonhoeffer, yep. Dietrich Bonhoeffer from Germany back in the World War II days. And you're right, this is nothing like the wild ones in our last thing. But I got so many calls and letters and emails about that seamy, sordid, sodgy tale that someone said, don't you read something normal? Okay, well, let's talk Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Although I wouldn't say this one's normal. It's big. It's at least as big as a Bible, right?
Yeah, it's 600 pages. So We were talking earlier about that book, War and Peace, that back in the day everybody read just to say that they read War and Peace.
Yep.
And when this book was actually given to me for Christmas by a dear friend, I said, wow, that's quite the size book. You put that on your coffee table just to impress people, 600 plus pages. Little difficult to get into this book because it's not like the wild ones. You don't blow through this one. This is like reading a history book.
Yeah.
Really complex book. Really fascinating.
I've learned when reading biographies about people who end up being very complicated, interesting people, the childhood is hard to get through because a lot happens, but it's important because it helps them become who they're going to be.
Yeah, if you take 100 pages of the book just to set up what his childhood, his early family life, his early travels, that's one of the first things that touches you about this book. By the time Dietrich Bonhoeffer is 17 to 20 years old, he's probably traveled 10, 15 countries.
Oh, wow.
Really, really well traveled. So the first thing in my mind, I always love traveling, but it takes an awful lot of money.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, who was funding all of Bonhoeffer's travels? Because he's all over the world. He's in Berlin. He's in the Netherlands. He's in America. He is shaped much more than most people are by the time he's 20 years old.
Wow.
So you would say the beginning of the book was a little difficult to get into, but you also said that you came back to it a second time renewed. So what changed between your readings other than that you read The Wild Ones?
Yeah, The Wild Ones. That really tainted me, that one. Well, you know, this is book 9 for me this year, so it's really been an interesting year because y'all gave me 6 different books that you, quote, thought I would like to read. All of which were very different, you know. So, you know, we're reading about unemployment. We're reading about Alan Alda. We've got some medieval romance. Of course, The Wild Ones was really, really different. So I think the first time I picked the book up, it just didn't flow, you know. So as I'm sitting down reading at night with the Cabernet Sauvignon, which is always with me when I'm reading.
Yes.
Yes. It just didn't flow like a story. So I wasn't mentally ready for this. Is like a history book. This is something I have to actually sit down, think about, and study while I'm reading. Once I put myself in that mindset, I really look forward to the 2 to 3 hours at night I would spend with Dietrich.
I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up about needing to be in the right mindset. I think so many times for me with books, I will give them a shot and then I won't feel it at that moment. And it's just because whatever's happening in my life makes me less receptive to the style of the story or you name it. And sometimes it's just a matter of finding the right book at the right time.
Yes. So we don't have time for you to tell us 600 pages worth of information about Bonhoeffer, but give us a little snapshot about this very interesting pastor, martyr, prophet, and spy.
Yeah, that pretty much says it all right there. And you're right, we were talking before we started the podcast about the title, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, and Spy. You know, that alone lets you know this is a very multifaceted, complex guy. You know, if you just said Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor, okay, we'd all have what we thought that would be and be some kind of clerical thing. But when you put this in the middle of World War II, and those of us that have studied World War II or the Germans World War II or Hitler, you've got your own idea of what is all going on. And I know for me personally, having served in Germany 3 times in the army, my prevailing thought was, didn't anybody know what was going on over here? Really, were you that duped by Hitler? The neat thing about this book is not just Bonhoeffer, but so many of the German generals were appalled by what Hitler was doing. So here the rest of the world is thinking, here's this crazy guy that's just taken Germany to a place it's never been, and you got the concentration camps at Auschwitz and Dachau, and you're saying, look what he's doing to the Jews, and how could anybody think that was okay? Well, there was a whole bunch of people inside the Third Reich who didn't think it was okay. So what's really compelling about this story, while you get an awful lot about Bonhoeffer, you get an awful lot about a whole bunch of the inner workings of the Third Reich who did not agree with Hitler. And then the question becomes, how do we take Hitler down? And that's what so much of this book is about.
And how do they take Hitler down?
Actually, not well. Because there was probably 10 to 12 attempts on his life where people were physically strapped up with bombs that were going to meet with Hitler, that were going to blow themselves up along with Hitler. Mm-hmm. And every single time they had set something up, something happened wrong. Hitler didn't show up. He showed up and the bomb didn't work. Just a series of things. And you're going, wow, this guy really is bigger than life. We can't get to him.
And you were even telling me about one instance where the bomb actually did go off and Hitler was in the room. And then what happened?
Yeah. So that was the beginning of the end, actually, for Bonhoeffer. Because so they finally get to the part where they try once again. It was about the 12th attempt. And someone comes in with the bomb in a briefcase, sits next to Hitler in the meeting, sets the briefcase down, and then gets up and walks out like he has somewhere else to go. He did have somewhere else to go. He had to get out of the building before the building blew up. The building blows up. The briefcase is physically right next to Hitler, and Hitler comes away unscathed. But now he knows there's a group of people that's really trying to kill him. So now he goes after. Who is this group of people? Mm-hmm. Bonhoeffer is one of that group. And so it just becomes a very complex thing of rounding up all these people. Bonhoeffer was captured. Bonhoeffer was put in several prisons and concentration camps and was eventually hung within weeks of the Allies actually liberating Germany. So within 2 weeks after when Bonhoeffer was killed, Hitler took his own life and the Allies, you know, defeated mm-hmm. Germany. So it was really, really at the end of the war, Bonhoeffer would have survived.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you also brought a bonus book because when he was transferred between these prisons, you said he did a lot of writing. So tell us a little bit about the second book you brought too, written by him.
Yeah, the second book is titled Ethics, and he was a pastor, prophet throughout mm-hmm. his lifetime. So Bonhoeffer was very, very deeply religious, mm-hmm. deeply into the Bible, deeply about doing the Word of God, deeply mm-hmm. about knowing what Jesus Christ personally wanted you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have any moral dilemmas for himself personally. He mm-hmm. was really cut and dried when it comes to religion. So he wrote his whole life about the ethics of Christianity mm-hmm. and what was your purpose, what was it that God was calling you to do. But he never published the book. Mm-hmm. He had writings all over the place.
Okay, so it wasn't just in prison. He was writing his whole life, and they found all of it. Okay.
His whole life, including prison. Okay. So at the end of his life, people just, kind of like the Dead Sea Scrolls, they went and found all of these mm-hmm. writings, including scraps of paper that he was writing on.
Oh, wow.
And assembled them the best they could into this book. So as we were talking beforehand, mm-hmm. there'll be a series of thoughts that becomes a chapter in this book. And then the thoughts stopped. They weren't going anywhere, and they just end the chapter. And they said, this is the end. There was no more. And then it picks up on another thought. It was a group of people doing the best they could mm-hmm. to publish all of his writings. Again, a very deep theological book.
Now, were you reading them at the same time, or did you read this and then discover the ethics book and want to get a little deeper into his brain?
B. So I'm reading Bonhoeffer. As I got towards the end of it, I was just so enjoyed reading this book. Mm-hmm. Again, it's very, very different. It's something you have to study. But this book mentioned the book Ethics towards the end. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I just have to see that. So I went on Amazon because that's where we all go.
Yes.
When we're looking for a book.
And after we go to the library.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I meant. After I went to the library and didn't find it, I went to Amazon. I like my own copies.
And I also
I don't want to steal yours.
I love biographies, but there are a few different veins of biography. So does this one, we already know it covers his childhood. Does it follow his life just him, or does it expand sometimes and look at the broader picture and then, you know, focus back down?
It expands a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So it's always the thread is him and what he's doing, but early on it's talking about his childhood, his school, who influenced him there. Mm-hmm. Then it talks about the people that he goes into religion with, the theological group that he's around. And it's actually that group of people from then on, from his early 20s through his death,
mm-hmm.
this group of other pastors and ministers that come together to say, we have to do something about Hitler. So it does weave everybody that he goes through the ministry with, mm-hmm. theology with, his early life. He only had two personal relationships with mm-hmm. women. I mean, it talks about both of them, an early relationship. He's a clumsy, awkward guy because he's very
nerdy,
religiously focused. So he doesn't have time for women. You know, so yeah. This isn't the wild ones at all. This is on the other end of the spectrum. He had one relationship with a woman that didn't work out, and mm-hmm. it ends. And then right at the end of his life, he finds someone. It's a very awkward situation how he meets her. But very quickly, he's attracted to her. They do become engaged about the time he goes into prison.
Oh, wow.
So most of their relationship is writing to each other. These mm-hmm. are letters. There's no text. There's no email. There's no phones. I mean, letters are taking about 10 days to get back and forth to each other. Mm-hmm. And they're, quote, engaged. Mm-hmm. And then he's killed before he ever sees her again.
Oh,
those
wow.
are the only two relationships he had in his life.
Gosh. Did you know much about him before you read it? Or was this...
I didn't know anything about
okay. him. Well, was there anything very surprising to you other than the fact that the Third Reich was filled with spies? That's surprising
to
me a little bit.
What impresses me about him is how dedicated he was to his convictions.
Yeah.
So all of us feel strongly about this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. The question becomes, when put to the test, how strongly do you really feel about your convictions? Mm-hmm. In his case... are you willing to put your life on the line? Which is mm-hmm. always an interesting thing to ask somebody. And obviously, in his case, he was. The moral dilemma was no dilemma to him. Mm-hmm. He knew what God had called man to do. He mm-hmm. knew he had to stand up to this guy, Hitler, who was pure evil incarnate inside mm-hmm. of Germany, because he loved Germany. And so he sees Hitler as the guy that's making Germany look bad on the world stage.
Yeah.
And he has to fight that. Mm-hmm. If that costs him his life, he never bats an eye at mm-hmm. that.
Why do you think that your friend gave this book to you? I mean, obviously it was a hit for you, but...
Two things. You know, most people that know me know my military background, so I mm-hmm. think anything tied to the military... And I would consider myself to be a strong, devout Christian.
Yeah.
So I do like reading a lot of Christian things. So this is like the perfect marriage of those two, a military story by a guy who, you know, is a mm-hmm. prophet, you know, minister.
Yeah.
So for me, two of the biggest things, I read a lot of leadership and management. I don't read a lot of stuff like The Wild Ones.
Yeah.
So this is kind of more in the vein of what I would read. Sure.
Okay, I'm also going to throw in really quickly a book recommendation for you if you haven't read it. It is a biography of Fred Rogers. Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
The Neighborhood?
It's called The Good Neighbor, and I listened to it, but it's a very good book, and he was such a good person.
And
at
he
the
has
end
a
of it.
Background.
He does not, actually.
Oh, that's Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Captain Kangaroo does, yeah. But yes, it's also a very good one at the end. I was like crying, you know.
Okay,
he's,
you gotta give it to me because I'm done with this. And,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I also rented it from the library.
Oh, I'd like that then.
Okay, well, I think we have a lot about it. We're not going to do the game show portion. It's a little hard when you have nonfiction to cast characters and all of that.
Yeah, if I picked a page in him to read out of, it wouldn't be anywhere near as interesting as that last book that we read out of.
Yeah. It's one of those things you have to take it as a whole. It's not super interesting one line at a time.
Correct.
But thank you for joining us.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.